Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon narrowly escaped a no-confidence motion in the Israeli parliament today. His coalition survived when lawmakers split 55-55 on the question of whether to topple the government. In an effort to avoid such close calls in the future, Mr. Sharon today invited opposition leader Shimon Peres to a meeting to discuss forming a national unity government. Analysts say if he can entice the Liberal Labour Party into his coalition, he will be able to proceed with his plan to begin unilaterally disengaging from the Palestinians. But this forced political marriage has its critics on both the right and left. NPR's Peter Kenyon is in Jerusalem and joins us now. Hi, Peter. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Now, Peter, this is not the first no-confidence vote that Mr. Sharon has dodged. There have been several in recent weeks. Are they all generated by critics of his plan to evacuate some Jewish settlements in Gaza and the West Bank?
Well, they're not. Not all of them, anyway, although that is the underlying reason why he's vulnerable. Basically, Sharon is running a minority government right now. He doesn't have the 61 votes on any given day, which is what you need in the Knesset for a majority. And his adversaries are essentially forcing him to fight for survival on a regular basis. Sometimes it's over this disengagement plan. Sometimes it's economic issues or social or religious issues. His basic problem is that he's living on the political edge, and he needs to shore up his coalition.
And these are certainly strange bedfellows, I think, are they not? The Labour Party in government with Mr. Sharon. What exactly would he have to give up in order to get the ample majority he needs?
Well, that's a big question, and that's what these negotiations are going to be answering in the coming days. Your strange bedfellow remark is quite accurate, although not unheard of. There was a national unity government before the previous elections, and that is also a cause for concern among some labor folks. But basically, Mr. Peres has said already that he's demanding a firm timetable for the evacuations. In other words, they want to know that it's real, it's happening by a time certain. And he also wants some level of coordination with the Palestinians. That's a taller order for Mr. Sharon. He's been very loath to do that. He's kind of adopted this unilateral approach, and he'd like to stick with it. On Sharon's side, you've got a bunch of bruised egos to deal with when you're making room for these labor ministers. Peres especially, he's been prime minister three times, foreign minister three times. He needs to get a top job, most likely, and that puts the foreign minister, Silvan Shalom, in danger of being the guy who has to move over to make room for Shimon Peres. There's a lot of those domino effect scenarios that have to be juggled here. And on Peres's side, he's got problems within his own party. They remember the previous unity government, and they consider it a disaster, at least some of his party members. And he agrees to an extent. He says, yeah, this isn't good for our party, I know that, but the chance to take down settlements in Gaza, perhaps remove the Jewish presence altogether, is too important to let pass, which makes it all the more important that he get these firm commitments from Mr. Sharon in terms of sticking to disengagement.
Well, the concessions that Labour is demanding sound exactly like the kind of things that would further alienate Sharon from the right wing of his Likud party, would it not? I mean, how
Absolutely.
Is he dealing with that?
Well, he's head-on, as is his wont. He's threatening to call early elections if these rebels within the Likud party try to block him. He's really bucking a large segment of his party here, and he has inflamed the settler movement, which for its size is extraordinarily powerful in this Israeli political system. The media is filled with stories here, the local media, with stories about right-wing incitement and people recalling the mid-90s when Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated. So there's a tense edge to around all this usual political infighting. Early elections aren't something Sharon wants any more than many of his fellow Likud members, but he's serving notice that he's ready to fight for this plan.
The Palestinian Authority had its own election news. Their municipal elections are being postponed. What was that about?
Well, that's right. They would have been the first, and may still be, but the first election since 94 when Yasser Arafat and company were put into place. But there's some problems with the election law. The legislature needs to deal with it. They've now been put off till November. They say, by the way, they still think general elections for the leaders' posts and the top positions are impossible while the Israeli military occupation continues.
And meanwhile, violence continues. There were victims on both sides again in the past 2 days.
Yes, there were a Palestinian bombing attack yesterday in Tel Aviv, killed a 19-year-old woman, a female soldier, an Israeli, wounded dozens others. The first in several months in Tel Aviv. Prime Minister Sharon immediately linked it to Friday's World Court ruling about the West Bank barrier. It was declared illegal, but he's promising to build it anyway. On the Palestinian side, the body of an elderly man who'd been confined to a wheelchair was found in the debris of his demolished home in the southern Gaza Strip. The army's looking into the report. Neighbors say the man's family didn't have time to evacuate him before the bulldozers moved in.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Peter.
Thanks, Lynn.
Peter Kenyon is NPR's Mideast correspondent. In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.